The situation at the end of episode 1 was that Smersh officer Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Klemenko and his men have found two burned bodies buried in a shallow hole close to the Führerbunker's emergency exit. Initially unsure of their significance, Klemenko had ordered the corpses reburied until the identification of another unburned corpse with a strong resemblance to Hitler was properly settled. Returning to the Reich Chancery Garden early on the morning, the 5th of May 1945, Klemenko ordered the burned corpses disinterred, also recovering close by the unburned but buried bodies of a small black dog and a grey-brown-coloured Alsatian bitch. The corpses, completely unrecognisable apart from being the bodies of a man and a woman, along with the dogs, were packed into Red Army ammunition crates, loaded onto a truck, and driven to Berlin-Buch Hospital's pathology department, where a highly skilled and very large team of Red Army pathologists and other forensic personnel awaited them. 2 days previously, this same team of doctors and technicians had conducted the autopsies of Dr. Goebbels and his wife and children, and Generals Krebs and Bergdorf. Cause of death had been established as gunshot wounds to the heads for Goebbels, Krebs, and Bergdorf, matching witness statements concerning their manners of death, and cyanide poisoning using SS-manufactured suicide vials for Frau Goebbels and her children. It seems also that Dr. Goebbels had shot his wife, presumably after she had crunched down on the poison, and of course the bodies had most definitely been shot again whilst lying on the ground on the orders of Goebbels's SS adjutant Gunther Schwegermann before petrol was poured over them and set alight. I made a video about the end of Dr. Goebbels and his family, link in the end screen. The female burned corpse recovered from a shallow grave in the Reich Chancery Garden is the focus of this video. Body subsequently identified by the Soviets as Eva Braun, or I should say Eva Hitler, as she had been the Führer's wife since the 29th of April 1945. This identification is, as I will show, far from conclusive, and there is compelling medical evidence that casts this identification into some doubt. The female corpse was approximately 150 centimetres tall, Eva Braun standing 163 centimetres when alive. The 13-centimetre difference is usually explained by the body shrinking when burned. Age was established at between 30 and 40 years old. Eva was 33 at the time she was recorded as having died on the 30th of April 1945. The corpse had been lying on its left side in a hole when burned, for the right side was very badly destroyed by fire. Almost the entire top of the head had been burned away to a point halfway down the forehead. No evidence of a gunshot wound was found on the head, tallying with the witness stories that Eva Braun took poison, her unused Walther pistol found unfired on the table in front of the sofa where she died inside the bunker. The left side of the corpse's face was, however, blackened but well preserved. The right side of the chest wall and abdomen were badly burnt, the internal organs being exposed. The right arm, likewise, was badly burned and mutilated by fire. However, the legs were blackened but intact, and the feet scorched a dirty brown colour. Thus far, nothing to challenge the orthodox view of the last 78 years that Eva Braun killed herself with cyanide and was then burned in the garden of the Reich Chancellery. When Soviet pathologists examined the left and less damaged side of the corpse's chest, two holes were found near the breastbone. They were identified as being shrapnel wounds. Each injury consisted of a hole 1 centimetre across. There were severe injuries to the thorax, two perforations in the upper lobe of the left lung, with 500 cc's of blood in the left pleural cavity. The pathologist subsequently removed 6 fragments of steel from the chest cavity that measured up to 0.5 centimetre square. At this point, we should be asking rather obviously, as Smersh did in 1945, when and how this woman was wounded, if it was Eva Braun. Absolutely no witness evidence concerning the death of Hitler's wife ever mentioned that Eva Braun was wounded before her death. Could the wounds have been caused post-mortem, when the bodies of Hitler and his wife were lying out in the open in a shallow pit being burned, the Reich Chancery Garden being subjected to constant explosions caused by Soviet shellfire? This made perfect sense and could have neatly explained such a discrepancy in the witness statements, until the autopsy notes reveal that there were two holes in the corpse's heart, surrounded by clearly discernible hemorrhage. In the upper frontal part of the lining of the heart, the doctors found two apertures, 0.8 by 0.4 centimeters. Quote, "They are surrounded by a clearly discernible hemorrhage. Similar injuries are present in the direction of the left pleural cavity," end quote. This indicated that the person had been alive at the time they had received the chest injuries. They were not post-mortem. Hemorrhage into the tissues only occurs during life. It does not occur after death. This finding is the first problematic piece of forensic evidence to emerge from the body later identified as Eva Braun's, but it was not the only one. The second problem was the manner of burning the corpse. The body, subsequently identified as Eva Braun's, was lying on its left side, in a shallow pit, so how could it have received injuries to its left chest from shrapnel when lying inside a crater on its left side? Doesn't make any sense. So unless all the witness testimonies about the death of Hitler and Eva are wrong, remembering that these testimonies have, for the most part, with some variation, been generally accepted as truthful by both Soviet and Western investigators, witnesses, and filmmakers for the past 78 years, unless all the witnesses are all lying, it is quite difficult to understand how this corpse could have been identified as Eva Braun's. The shrapnel injuries to the chest, injuries demonstrated by pathologists at the autopsy to have occurred before death, would seemingly make its identification as Braun's nonsensical. We will return to this thorny part of the medical evidence presently. When the corpse's mouth was examined, fragments of a glass cyanide ampule were discovered. This ampule was only broken once, whereas all the other capsules found in the other dead bodies so far examined by the Soviets had been ground into many fragments by the involuntary teeth gnashing associated with cyanide poisoning. Though the mouth stank of bitter almonds, a telltale sign of cyanide poisoning, when the internal organs were examined and later tested chemically, no smell of bitter almonds or chemical trace of cyanide was found by the Soviets, unlike on all the other bodies the pathologist had examined over the past few days, where cyanide capsules had been taken orally. This is strange. The cyanide kills by being breathed in and ingested after the capsule has been crushed between the teeth. In the Goebbels family corpses, excluding that of Dr. Goebbels, who died by a gunshot wound to the temple, the victims' mouths, lungs, brains, and intestines all smelled strongly of bitter almonds, or tested positive chemically for cyanide compounds. It has been suggested by some researchers that the corpse of the burned woman found in the Reich Chancery Garden had already been dead for some time when a glass vial of cyanide was crushed in her mouth. A dead person, of course, can't breathe, so the cyanide would not have reached the organs, and the glass vial was only broken once into two pieces, not consistent with the death throes of someone who had crushed down on a cyanide capsule while alive. So there we have three red flags for the Soviet pathologists and Schmersch to try and resolve before the final report was made to Stalin. Remaining in the mouth, the best way to identify a dead body before the advent of DNA testing was dental records. Teeth enamel is very strong, and the teeth are about the last part of a human body to be destroyed by fire. Remembering that Hitler and Eva Braun were supposed to have been cremated using an open-air petrol fire on sandy soil. The high temperatures required to destroy teeth would not have been achievable under such less than ideal circumstances. Eva was treated by Hitler's personal dentist, SS General Dr. Hugo Blaschke. Her last checkup had been in March 1945, 2 months before her alleged suicide. Laschke was not captured by the Soviets, having been evacuated from Berlin as part of Operation Seraglio on the 20th of April 1945, going south to Berchtesgaden with many of the bunker staff on Hitler's orders. He was eventually apprehended by the US Army in late 1945 and thoroughly questioned. Not having Blaschke in custody, Schmersch instead searched his abandoned office on the Kurfürstendamm in Berlin, and also the Reich Chancellery Dental Office, before arresting two of his staff, who had assisted him for several years as he worked on the teeth of Hitler, Eva Braun, and several other top Nazis. So what did the forensic investigation reveal? Much of the right side of the jaw was destroyed by fire, and the teeth were missing, an odd discovery for an open petrol fire of relatively low temperatures. The Soviets found in the upper jaw only four teeth and one root remnant. None of the teeth were in the jaw. They were all loose and lying between the tongue and the palate. None of the teeth had any signs of wear. The left side of the lower jaw had six intact teeth from the lateral incisors to the second molar. Quote, "The second incisor has a dark point. The canine tooth, two bicuspids and two molars are present. All of them are moderately worn and show visible changes due to dental caries." End quote. By way of comparison to the Soviet evidence is the chart of Eva's teeth made by Dr. Blaschke for his American interrogators. Both of the left bicuspids in the left segment of Eva's upper jaw had large restorations. The Soviets found no such restorations in the teeth they found in the corpse that they examined from the Reich Chancellery Garden. How could this be? Dr. Blaschke showed that Eva's upper right molar had a large filling. The same tooth in the burned corpse's mouth examined by the Soviets had no such filling. Blaschke's diagram shows no evidence of the dental caries noted by the Soviets or indeed any other issues, and Blaschke had last examined Eva in March 1945. How did Eva manage to develop dental caries in 2 months bad enough to have permanently damaged her teeth, particularly as her dentist only left the Führerbunker 9 days before her alleged death? And despite another dentist, SS Dr. Kuntz, who poisoned the Goebbels children, being on site until after her death. It doesn't make any sense. In the lower right jaw of the burned corpse, all the teeth were missing, but something was present. Quote, "In the oral cavity, a bridge of yellow metal, gold, was found under the tongue, unattached, which connects the second right bicuspid and the third right molar by means of a gold crown. On the metal plate of the bridge, the first and second artificial white molars are attached in front. Their appearance is almost indistinguishable from natural teeth." End quote. It was this bridge work that was to be used to positively identify the corpse as Eva Braun's. Dr. Blaschke told the Americans in late 1945 that the last time he had examined Eva Braun in March, she had 26 natural teeth remaining in her jaw. By May 1945, the burned female corpse had only 11, plus the dental bridge. Blaschke's diagram showed that Eva had all of her front teeth. The Soviets only found one of them, the left lateral incisor. Remembering that the Soviets in May 1945 had nothing to compare the corpse's teeth to, they managed to find a box of gold crowns and duplicate bridges for Hitler and Eva Braun in Blaschke's Reich Chancellery Dental Office. And, soon afterwards, Schmersch apprehended Blaschke's dental technician, Fritz Echtmann, who made the bridges for Hitler, Eva, and any other patients of Dr. Blaschke's, and Käthe Heusemann, Hitler's dental assistant, who worked with Blaschke on the teeth of Eva Braun and many other top Nazis. They were separately interrogated in great detail, and Heusemann drew charts of both Hitler and Eva's teeth that later compared exactly to those of her boss, Dr. Blaschke. Heusemann, terrified and interrogated strongly by the NKVD, confirmed, as did Echtmann, that two identical bridges, one being a spare, had been made for Eva Braun, but had not been fitted before the war ended. Both bridges had been kept in a box by Dr. Blaschke. The Soviets only recovered one of Eva's bridge works from his office. The other was found in the corpse in the Reich Chancellery Garden. Heusermann was emphatic on this point and also told the Soviets that Ava's teeth had been in good condition, with no dental caries. Heusermann also said that she hadn't personally liked Ava, who she thought was spoiled and difficult. Most of the interrogator's questions concerned Hitler's teeth. The focus of the Schmirsch investigation was weighted towards the identification of the burned man's corpse recovered from the garden, and this obsession led Soviet investigators to bend the truth in ascribing an identity to the female body, as we will see. So let's examine the gold bridge found in the female corpse's mouth. Ava was missing 3 teeth in her upper jaw, according to Blaschke, who was her dentist for 10 years from 1935. No bridge had been fitted to fill the gaps. 4 of her teeth in the upper jaw had fillings. In the lower jaw, 3 teeth were missing and 1 tooth had a filling. Ava wore no false teeth or bridges. The remaining 26 teeth were all in good condition and healthy. The bridge found loose in the corpse's mouth had been made to repair a gap between 2 teeth in the lower jaw. The bridge was 4 teeth wide and could sit on 2 gold crowns, with 2 fake teeth filling the gap. Neither the broken pieces of cyanide capsule nor the white enamel of the false teeth attached to the gold bridge showed any signs of fire damage, despite the fire being supposedly hot enough to have destroyed most of the real teeth in the right jaw. So in conclusion, the body of the burned woman had no fillings in remaining teeth where Ava was known to have had them, was suffering from serious dental caries that remained unreported by her dentist or dental assistant, and had apparently only appeared in the last 2 months of life, despite Ava's lifestyle and access to excellent medical care being unchanged. The corpse had a gold bridge loose in its mouth, a bridge work definitely made by Fritz Echtmann for Ava on Blaschke's order, but never fitted according to both Blaschke, Heusermann and Echtmann, yet had mysteriously appeared undamaged by fire in the mouth of a body ravaged by fire in the Reich Chancery Garden. The shrapnel wounds in the corpse's chest that could only have been made before death, the Soviet pathologists ultimately sidestepped. Their report states, along with the very real evidence of cyanide poisoning as a cause of death, quote, in view of the fact that similar ampules were found in other corpses, that a smell of bitter almonds developed upon dissection, and based on the forensic chemical tests of the internal organs of these bodies in which the presence of cyanide compounds was established, the Commission reaches the conclusion that notwithstanding these severe injuries to the thorax, the immediate cause of death was poisoning by cyanide compounds. End quote. The gold bridge work, found loose and unfire damaged in the corpse's mouth, was, because it had been made for Ava, in the Commission's opinion, quote, the most important anatomical feature for the identification of the woman, end quote. And that is the evidence which said that the burn corpse was that of Ava Braun, nothing else. Heusermann's insistence that no bridgework was ever fitted to Ava was ignored, the NKV dismissing Heusermann and Echtmann's testimonies because they were not dentists. By the time Dr. Blaschke's testimony became available, the identifications of the 2 burn corpses had already been widely accepted throughout the world. Hitler and Ava Braun, end of story. It is interesting that the Soviet pathologist noted down all of the true features of the female corpse, omitting none of the details that clashed with the witness testimonies, which were beginning to emerge from the NKVD interrogations, which I think shows that some political interference in the identification of the female corpse came later, in the tortured language and logic of the final commission report that decided the body to be Ava Braun's. The Soviets kept all the autopsy information secret until 1968, when it eventually leaked out to the West through a book. But when the forensic inconsistencies in the post-mortem of the alleged Ava Braun became known in the West, it did cause disquiet and started to fuel rumours that Hitler and Ava had escaped at war's end. Rumours that had in fact abounded since 1945. A very distinguished researcher called Reidar Sognes, who also did extensive work on the case of Martin Bormann, decided to investigate the case by looking at both Dr. Blaschke's testimony and the evidence in the US archives, and also the newly released Soviet archive material. Sognnaes was no ordinary layman. He was an expert in the field of dentistry. He was dean of the Harvard School of Dental Medicine, founding dean of the UCLA School of Dentistry, and a scholar in the field of oral pathology. Although Professor Sognnaes looked extremely carefully at all the available evidence, both from the US and Soviet archive records, he came to the conclusion that Dr. Blaschke had been one of the top dentists of that era, and his testimony made to his US interrogators completely above reproach or question, and also that the Soviet doctors had no reason to lie about what they discovered of the corpse's dentition. Sognnaes eventually decided that the corpse identified as being Eva Braun's was indeed hers, but he was not completely happy with this finding, and befriended Käthe Heusermann, Blaschke's dental assistant. Her strong testimony concerning Blaschke's never having fitted the bridge in Eva's mouth, that the Soviets found loose in the oral cavity of the corpse, eventually changed his mind. The fact of someone of Sognnaes' scientific standing changing his mind about the issue of Eva Braun's corpse is extremely important, but often sidelined or ignored today. When he interviewed Heusermann in 1972, she told him how the Soviets had ignored her testimony and how Dr. Blaschke had never fitted a bridge to Eva's teeth. Heusermann had suffered badly for her associations with Hitler and his wife. She had been raped during the breakout from the bunker on the 1st to 2nd of May 1945, and a few days later had been picked up and thoroughly questioned by the NKVD, being held for 6 years in the Soviet Union without trial. In 1951, she was sentenced to 10 years in a labor camp for being Adolf Hitler's dental assistant. In 1972, then living in West Germany, she finally told her side of the story. So convinced was Sognnaes by this new evidence that he would write, quote, "From the comparison of ante-mortem and post-mortem data, it cannot be concluded that the female corpse on which the Soviets performed the autopsy was that of Eva Braun." End quote. This conclusion was repeated by other researchers over the years, including Dr. Hugh Thomas, a forensic pathologist. Whether you are one of those people who agrees with the official story, or with Sognnaes and Thomas's heretical theories, something is clearly awry concerning the identification of the body subsequently labelled Eva Braun. I'm not going to start chucking out theories about who might have perpetuated a fraud in the case of Eva Braun, because actual evidence is limited only to the medical evidence I've laid out here. Any theorizing beyond that would be pure conjecture on my part, but I'm sure many of you will start to join the dots to whatever theory suits your belief about what became of Hitler and his wife in May 1945. Whatever happened, the medical evidence alone in the case of the burned woman from the Reich Chancery Garden does show anomalies that have never been satisfactorily resolved and continue to divide opinion even 78 years later.